step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Great news, finally a new tour name, Sayonara Fatso. Starting with May the 7th, I'm going to be in Buffalo. May the 9th, Warren, Michigan. June 26th, 27th, I'm going to be in Chicago at the Den. July 10, 11, Stamford, Connecticut. July 24, 25, Point Pleasant, New Jersey. November the 19th, I'm making my first appearance at Brea, California, at the Brea Improv. December 4, 5, I'll be in Freehold, New Jersey. JimNorton.com/tour.
Jim Norton can save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
I'm glad you're here, Modi.
I have not seen something like this in so long.
Oh, that's, yes, that is my senior citizen wife.
Wow, look at that. My grandmother had this. It's a checkbook and all that?
Yeah, she likes old lady stuff. She's I think it's got a royal warrant. So she made me get her something with a royal warrant. I just, it's like living with a 78-year-old woman who's got a penis.
I haven't seen something like that. My grandmother had that. She goes to checks here. Don't spend it all in one place, literally.
It's an old lady thing, but her style is very, like, she likes, I mean, obviously old things. That's why we're together. She loves, like when I was in London with Florentine, I went to Buckingham Palace and I bought her a bunch of little tchotchkes and I knew exactly she would love them. And she's just into that old person culture.
That's very cute. Oh my God. So she should come to Florida. She should come to some gigs with me in Florida. She'll have a blast.
She loved Florida. She went down and we went. I did Tampa. I did the Burt Cruise 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I did Tampa. And what else did we do? I went to Sarasota. Have you been to Sarasota?
I have a sister that lives in Sarasota on a golf course. I have a sister that lives on a golf course.
You sell big in Florida, I bet.
I do big in
You
Florida.
Do very well. Yeah, by the way, your second Radio City, congratulations. I know it's the first one is sold out. And the second one is on sale and probably will sell out.
It's selling out. Yeah,
I'm sure. I have no doubt. So it's crazy in the last few years how you've exploded. I'm happy because
I know you're happy.
Yeah,
I know you're happy. I know you are. You've been there from the beginning of my explosion, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you met Leo, which is the explosive.
Yeah, I guess that was it. Right?
That's what blew it up. On my own, I couldn't have done this. We got to Radio City, and then we sold the first one out in 96 hours.
That's crazy.
And then we added another show. And so it's amazing. 23rd and 30th of April.
Well, that's a long way out to be that fast sold out. That's a long way out to be totally sold out.
Yeah, well, I don't know, they call it starve the market, where you just don't sell any tickets in New York for a while. And then you just, boom, you release this, and then it just came right out. And then that's what it is. It just... So I can't even explain to you how excited I am. I'm thinking about everything from like the music when they're sitting down to like what's going to open, who's going to open. Like I'm having a tailor-made tuxedo.
Oh, very nice.
Same as your style for specials.
Absolutely, yes. Dress like a gentleman. By the way, I'm also starving the market. And then when they came back, they went, "We're still not hungry, fatso." I'm finally back on my diet. I'm only a few days into a no carb diet, so I'm like really tired today and I feel lightheaded. Because you know how when you come off carbs, it takes a little while for your body to adjust.
Absolutely. Are you taking any help? Ozempics and all that stuff?
No, I could, but I'm like, let me see what I can do in a couple months on my own. I know how to lose weight. I go to the gym 4 days a week. I know what to do.
Okay.
I'm just lazy.
I just think Weight Watchers now is giving their customers Ozempic. If that's not like the craziest thing you ever heard.
Yeah.
They're giving them Ozempic, so who the hell needs them?
Right.
If you're on Ozempic, you're not going to need to count your calories and count your meal plans and all that.
But you have to change the way you eat, too. Like, I'm a little piggy boy. Like, because the person, my wife, she's young, so she doesn't put weight on. Oh, good. Someone's food order came. What perfect timing.
Oh, good.
So much food.
Oh, yeah, please send them right up. Oh, great news. That's good news.
One time.
Are you starting a podcast? Good. I'm going to order some food.
Oh.
But my issue with Ozempic is like they announce cold cuts give you cancer now. There's like a 1-to-1.
Oh, really?
Why wouldn't this have a side effect? We don't know yet.
I don't care. It's so good.
You don't
it's
care.
So I don't care. It's so good. It's so it makes a travel day easy. It makes if you just know you're not gonna eat, you get a big fat shot before you go traveling, and you can judge everybody on the plane that's eating.
Yeah,
you just judge them. Look at you. Really, you're gonna eat that piece of salmon that came from the toilet? Really? Good for you.
So wait, you're not hungry at all on the flight?
If we are on our tirzepatides at on the right pattern, if you're with somebody, my husband has to be on it also, otherwise all of a sudden ding-a-ling-a-ling, the door brings and stuff is coming up. But if you're both on it, like, hey, we can pass on dinner tonight. It's a difference of when you get to your hotel room after a show, are you going to call and order the entire room service menu, or are you just going to go to sleep and wake up the next day?
Right.
That's the difference.
See, for me, I'm replacing old activity, which was not to use the room service menu, but to go online and find a young lady to come over. For me, it was escorts. So like when I stopped with that, and you know, when she and I got serious, like, you know, 2018, I started fattening up because that whole thing I would do in the hotels, I don't have anything to do anymore.
Right.
And I can't go right to sleep. I'm a terrible sleeper.
Yeah.
So I'm just gooning online now. Fucking on Pornhub. Like a chimp. It's really awful. I'm like, why don't I just write a book? Or read a book?
You wrote a book once.
I wrote two books, and then all of a sudden I just stopped. I couldn't.
I found your book. I remember I found it in like the sales bin of a gay bookstore.
That's funny.
Literally.
Hold on. Sweetie, your food is here. She'll have to go out and get her food. But you call in the number 720-820-1337. Did I finally get it right? Every week I've been tripping on it like an idiot. And yeah, Modi, you're doing so well. I'm really happy for you. Let me yell again. Sweetie, your food is here. That's what being married is.
Thank God there's food. Hey.
No, that's okay. I just, we didn't even notice the phone. All right, good. We are now off. And if people wonder, are you traveling everywhere, by the way? Like, will you go to Israel now, or are you nervous because things are so crazy?
We're booking Israel. We are. We're doing a big, big play in Israel, but it's very hard to pin down the time and the place and the locations. To work with production there is really hard. I want to come there and make sure we can add dates to different shows.
Why, is it hard because of the way things are? Or?
Nah, it's hard because of the producers in Israel.
Oh,
nothing
really?
To do with anything.
They're
it's
difficult.
It's just not easy. Just not easy.
But you've done it.
Yeah, I've done it. I did like orchestra, like the Echal HaTarbut, the main like big 3,000 seat orchestra. I just did that 2 years ago. And now we're trying to do another big play there. You know,
when you go, do you fly El Al? Or I've always been fascinated by El Al because of their security. So do American Airlines have the same security to Israel as the Israeli airlines?
No, they don't. They really don't. But I fly El Al if we have to, but Delta and all of them. But you know, you book a flight with El Al, if you're stuck there, El Al is going to be the only one flying in and out. Delta could all of a sudden, some bomb just came in, we're canceling all our flights.
Right.
United could be canceled, but El Al, you know, is going to keep their flight.
So are they a good airline? Are they comfortable?
I mean, if you're sitting up front, it's okay.
It's okay.
They're a little nosy. They're a little nosy.
Well.
They're a little, you know, when you're checking in and she's like looking at you like, what are you two doing together? So I'm like, he's my husband. He's like, is he gay? I go, yes, he's my gay husband.
Have they said that?
Yes. They made a show like ID that we live in the same place, like our driver's license.
Wow.
They take it another step, whereas Delta's like, okay, go on. You know, go ahead, go on. You know, it's they
but the Israelis were a little bit more curious.
They're a little more curious. Little yentas, little busybodies.
So your wife is carrying sausage?
How long have you been together? Where did you meet? How long is it? Where is his family from? I'm like, really? Is you asking questions? And then she goes, my mom watches your videos. At the end, she ends it with, my mom watches your videos. Like, so you know who I am.
So she has to just ask because she's curious. No, she probably wants to ask you questions.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when have you ever done a podcast where you can tell, oh, this is not a real podcast. This is just like somebody wanted to have a conversation with me. Have you ever had that?
Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
They just wanted to have a conversation. Very few of them, though. And none that are successful, did I feel like.
So Leo knows how to vet a podcast or a news like article about me where, okay, hey, we need you to get on the phone at 10:30 and Zoom with this person. They're going to do an article. Sometimes they're not really what they are. They just want to speak to you. They just want to have a conversation with you. And they can somehow, 30 years ago, they wrote for the Jewish Journal of Detroit.
Yes.
So, you know. But that's what that feels like. You feel like someone's just asking questions just to ask questions.
Like it's a college newspaper interview.
Exactly, yeah. But
those are the worst, too, because they mean well, but you're like, oh, this is a one-night gig. Let's just get it. What are you doing? What the fuck are we doing here? This is not going anywhere.
And I do all of those interviews because I don't know where it's going to end up or who's going to bring in. I don't know. I'm always just trying to get more and more in the market.
Have you gotten flack because you're not like a political comic,
no.
But it's obvious on how you feel. Have you gotten shit just by the nature of being who you are and doing what you do?
So thank God I'm able to like fly under the radar. The name is Modi.
Yeah.
It's not like Avraham Bernstein is playing the Jewish humor of Avraham Bernstein. Yeah. It's Modi. Tuesday night, 8:30.
Right.
So it's not. It doesn't say Jewish comedy, just Modi, and that's also Indian. It's a big Indian name.
Ah.
So, but recently I did an event where Leo produced a show called the Big Deal Comedy Festival, and it was me, Michael Rappaport, and Ilan Gold. And because of Michael Rappaport, we got some some people were going to protest in front of the show in Chicago.
Yeah.
So we got there. We're walking in, and there was like five protesters. It wasn't a real thing. But we walk out, me, Michael Rappaport, and Ilan Gold, and somebody yelled out, you guys are the worst. And I just go, it's because you haven't seen Judy Gold. So I hope Judy's, I'm going to tag her, tag Judy.
She would enjoy that.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But yeah, I went to the radar. We're not like crazy. I have no political opinions. I just want everybody to get along and
be funny. Yeah.
And be funny. Just be fun. And as a comic, you have a chance to like bring a little peace into the world and all that. With this. So yeah.
And be funny about it. That's the key. I don't care what someone's opinions are. I don't care if they're pros or pro-Palestine. I don't care. Just be funny what you're talking about. In a funny setting, like don't any idiot can just make a speech,
right? So I wanted to. I am one of the biggest Jim Norton fans in the world.
Thank you.
I have followed
the only. I'm nosediving.
So I haven't been at the Comedy Cellar for weeks, months, not weeks, months. So Esty gave me a week of like the most juicy spots in the middle of one show and then go to the middle of another show for a whole week.
That's nice.
Just two shows a night.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of this show at the Fat Black Pussycat Bar and then you're downstairs at the View. And so you watch the comics that go on before you and I got to watch you twice and I it's so good to see
thanks,
you.
Man.
Oh, just first of all, best piece of audience, I don't say crowd work because I really define crowd work and having fun with the audience as two different things. But that one woman that went to go to the bathroom right when you, she actually.
At the VU, right?
The
Village Underground, yes.
You made one like, you finished your joke and you got your laugh and then she got up. She knew that this is the time before the next joke and not before a punchline to go to the bathroom. And the poor thing was stuck in front of the piano, whatever was going on over there. And you just. The line was something like, "Don't understand the power of a full bladder and a full ATM card."
Oh yeah,
what would you say to her?
Something that hurt. Wanting her to tinkle on me. I don't remember what it was, but it was. I have the clip somewhere. I just never post them. I probably
she
should.
She was walking towards me, and I'm watching her just like. When she's now, oh my God, I'm going to the bathroom and I'm in the middle of this conversation with the comic and it's about my bladder and my going to pee. And it was so great. It was just.
Oh, thank you.
I'll
put it up because I'm going to go back over those sets and find it.
It's the funniest thing I've ever. And the cameras are angled on all those places.
Yeah.
I just came back to the Comedy Cellar to do all the things that are happening. The Venezuelan president, Mondani. I haven't done anything in New York. I've been working on we taped a special.
Oh, nice.
It was amazing. It was just...
Where are you going to do it? YouTube?
Whoever the hell buys it, we're open to it.
Everyone is obsessed with losing weight, with looking better. GLP-1s, I mean, what an amazing thing This really helps people lose weight and look a lot better, feel a lot healthier. We all know people who have done them. I know quite a few people who've done them. Some are very public about it, and some like to pretend that they didn't do one. But what's really intriguing about this is the people I've seen that have done it, it's worked for them, and they're very happy. It's an overall healthy journey. It's in addition to weight loss. Patients can expect to have better lab numbers, more energy, new levels of confidence, and more benefits that can go just beyond the scale. RO, they offer the first, now this is crazy, the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss at the lowest cost around. There's finally a pill for everything. This new pill has the same weight loss ingredients as the shot, and it packs comparable results to the shot. Can help patients lose up to 14% of your body weight in a year on average. One daily pill for fewer cravings, feeling fuller with an innovative new formula. FDA approved GLP-1 pill. It's available $149 for the first dose in addition to your Roe membership fee, $299 a month for the higher doses. The Roe Body membership includes access to FDA approved GLP-1s, unlimited provider messaging, side effect management, and more. All $45 for your first month, $145 per month after. The Roe membership fee excludes the cost of the GLP medication, obviously. In addition to the newly improved pill, Roe also offers full suite of the most effective brand names, FDA-approved GLP-1s, all at the lowest cost. After your first online visit, if you're eligible for treatment, you can expect to start your medication in less than a week if paying cash, or about 2 weeks if you're using insurance. Go to ro.co, that's easy, it rhymes, ro.co/Norton to see if you're eligible for the new GLP-1 pill on Ro. Finally, a pill. That's ro.co/Norton to get started on Ro. Go to ro.co/safety, that's ro.co/safety for boxed warning and full safety information about GLP-1 medications. You think Dr. Squatch is some sort of wholesome company? You're so naive. Burt's Bees, Native, think again. They've all been bought out by mega corporations, private equity firms. They hijack these really precious and loved brands, and they fill them with the same corporate slop as everyone else. One company is doing things differently, the Van Man Company. Or as I said, Van Man, the Van Man Company. They started the tallow trend a few years back with their grass-fed tallow moisturizers, and they have been killing it ever since with hit after hit of clean, nearly edible solutions to your everyday products. Tallow is the best moisturizer on earth because the fatty acids in tallow, they're almost identical to the oils in your skin. Now, I really do put stuff on my face every night. Not that type of stuff. And I look 11, 12 maybe? I'm still a boy. But no, the lotions on the face, really, they do wonders for you. And I don't care if you're a guy and you're an alpha, you still want to look younger than you are. You want your skin to look better. Your body actually recognizes tallow. One use and you're going to feel the difference. Your skin's going to be softer and smoother than anything you've gotten from a bottle full of chemicals and fillers and all that crap. And because there's no filler crap, a little bit goes a long way. This stuff really lasts. Tallow Bomb, it's not just a moisturizer. It can replace your lotion, your night cream, your wrinkle cream, even Neosporin and Diaper Bomb. Hopefully all of those things are not being used by the same person or you're a weirdo and a creep. Powerful enough to heal the skin, safe enough to spread on your toast. That's real ingredients. You ready to ditch the corporate chemicals and actually put something really healthy on your skin? Go to vanman.shop/gym. Go to vanman.shop/gym. VANMAN.shop. Vanman.shop/gym. Use the code GYM, J-I-M, for 15% off your first order. That's vanman.shop/gym. Use the code GYM, 15% off your first order. Vanman, real ingredients, no exceptions. Welcome to the podcast.
Are you scared of Bomb Donnie at all? Like, I don't know how to feel about him yet. Like, I don't like his smile. I think that he's a nastier guy than he tries to play, but I want to be wrong about him. Like I don't believe that everybody should be terrified, but
first smile of all, the smile is insane. The smile, he looks like an after picture for every plastic surgeon on the Upper East Side. He's like, this is after you get your hair transplants, and this is like, we've picked up your chin and we've done this, and your ears, it's behind you there. He's got a great smile and he does not stop smiling.
Yeah, I don't like it.
He says crazy things because he knows that he learned from the best. Donald Trump is now the president of America and Venezuela. So now he learned from the best. And then, but he wants to build buildings and he wants to make housing. And in order to build buildings and do housing in New York, there's an element you need, and it's called the Jews. I don't know if you've seen every building in this city has a Jewish name on it. Tisch and Stern and Bloomingdale's and Guggenheim. It all has. You need to work with the Jews. And he could be the best mayor in the city ever, or he's going to get pulled out like the guy from Venezuela.
It'd be like De Blasio, who's just a disaster. And whenever you hate the cops and you still have armed security, people are like, shut up.
Right.
Like, whenever you don't support the police, you know, I mean, as soon as there's a violent crime, and then you have to kind of find a way to talk about it without actually saying you need the police. So we'll see what happens. I want to be positive about it because it's just too predictable to go, he sucks. Like, I hope he doesn't suck.
I hope he doesn't suck, too. I really hope. And whatever he's saying is one thing to say things, to act on them. But, you know, he's in a city that was built by Jews.
Yeah.
If he understands that and wants to do great things, he's going to have to involve and not, you know, show such hate towards the Jews.
Conan had a great quote recently where he was saying all the guys that are going, fuck Trump. He said it so well. He said you put down your best weapon, which is being funny. You've been lulled. It's like a siren leading you into the rocks. You've been lulled into saying fuck Trump, fuck Trump, fuck. He said F Trump. I think you put down your best weapon, which is being funny, and you've exchanged it for anger. Conan said that so great.
Yeah,
it was 100% right with what he said. I'm so bored with angry comics.
I'm so bored with angry
even
comics.
Pro Trump comics. No, just shut up and get to the joke.
100% in my special, I talk about Trump and I tell everybody right away, I'm not looking for boos, I'm not looking for woos, I'm looking for the ha-has.
Yeah.
What's funny? Let's find the funny. I don't need you. Because you know what I hate and I avoid? It's a term called clafter. When you're clapping and laughing. Yeah, right. So when you're like, and that's why Israel has the right to exist. So like, and you punch, that's your punchline. So they're going like, ah, but they're giving you this clapping because you're moral standing something. Yes. That's not a laugh.
No.
That's a clafter. You're getting a clafter. Write a punchline.
I've gotten good at getting neither. That's what I'm like, I don't want to laugh. I don't want applause. I want library energy in here. Uncomfortable library energy.
Leo and I are still in shock that you are not the spokesperson for trans people. Like, how have they missed that?
I'm just not the one they want.
No,
they want a guy who looks like Timothy Chalamet, and who has like, and you know what I mean, and who's like, you know, and gender neutrality. And
just,
they don't
God.
Want some fucking blinking half a fruit who's got a fuck. They, you know, they just don't want it. That's not what they. I'm not the guy they want. I've accepted that.
Yeah, but you really are you are their guy. You really are. The beautiful wife and watching your set. Oh my God! So let's discuss it. And I hate that I gave this piece of advice to you because I'm sure you know. So when you're doing your set and you're doing your material, whatever it was, the Nazis, whatever you were doing, and then you tell them, I am married to a trans. My wife is trans.
Yes.
And then their opinion of you changes so much, and then you could basically say anything after that.
In New York, yeah, like in Texas, you better be off stage in 5 minutes. But in New York, they're much more likely. But I almost don't like saying
it. I know you don't.
Because it's the only way to get into it. I have a few new jokes about it. I talked about it in the special, and I have a few new jokes about it. And then people go, what do you keep talking about? Because when you're married, you talk about your life, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That's what you do on stage. If I was just talking about my wife, nobody would have a question about it. But because she's trans, you're like, what are you going to talk about? You know, we get it.
You're absolutely right. I never spoke about being gay until I had a husband. When I had a husband who was gay, you know, people really say this to us. They come up and goes, you're Modi and you're his gay husband.
Yeah.
And they say it as if I'm not gay. Like, But I happen to have a gay husband.
It would be funny if he said, no, I'm straight. I just close my eyes. I close my eyes and look at the television.
Yeah. But I began talking about it only because I had a husband. Before, I was never like, I was never like in the gay world. I wasn't going right. out to like Fire Island and all that stuff and doing all. So I never really spoke about it. But now I'm married to a millennial who is a guy. And so we talk about it.
I remember when you came out and it was... Because, you know, the comedians always know. Like, it's so funny. They think that the comedy is such this whatever phobic. But we behind the scenes, we know everyone who's gay. Like, but again, if they don't want to say it, we don't, you know, I'm not going to say it. But it was funny to watch you kind of coming out and like, you know, and like, I knew there wouldn't be any problem with it. Like, I knew people would be fine with it.
There was no problem. One of the first places I ever came out was on your show.
Yep.
When they introduced me and Modi's this and this and that, and also does a lot for the Jew, it performs in the Jewish community for religious audiences and this and corporate events for religious organizations. And then you go, do they know you're gay? He just yelled it out. You go, do they know you're gay? Yes, Sam was introducing it. And then you just go, do they know you're gay? Literally.
But I didn't out Modi. We knew he was ready to come out. Like, I didn't just throw it at him. He knew that was coming, and I wouldn't have done it if he was not coming.
I think I answered you with I think they know I'm nervous. That was my answer. Yeah, but yeah, it never hurt. It hasn't hurt my business at all.
No.
We get calls all the time from super religious organizations, and you know, I'm performing, and I'm a performer. I'm gay, but I don't charge extra for that. It comes with it. It comes with the show.
They probably have Liberace hopes for you. Like, you'll find a nice girl and settle down someday, sooner or later. But they don't. People don't even care these days.
No one cares anymore.
Some people pretend to care, but you don't. You're a fraud. You don't really care. I forgot we have phone calls. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you have phone calls. Oh, wow.
Now you got to use the headphones for this.
Yes, phone calls.
Okay. Hello, you're on with Jim and Modi. How are you doing?
Oh, and thank you so much, Jim. I love you.
Thank you.
Modi, you're great. I have a really crazy question. Jim is right up your alley.
Okay.
So I was with this woman for a few years. Great, great woman. Pretty dirty girl. And, you know, naturally, I wasn't enough, so I had to cheat on her.
Sure. Yep. Greed.
And then, so we ended up splitting. And then the woman that I was that I cheated with, well, we ended up getting together, and she was a freak, mm-hmm. but legitimate, like, psycho.
Yeah.
So that ended up, leaving. You know, those kind of go hand in hand. And now I didn't talk to either of them for the longest time, and it's been about a month or so. Both of them started messaging me, and at the same time, I started connecting with this other woman, this new one, who I was like, all right, I need to go to therapy. I need to like clean my ways, get into all of this shit. So I am now in a world of what the hell do I do? Because I'd love to go off, you know, be with the original one, but I messed that up. The crazy one, well, you know, she's just too crazy. And then we get this new one.
I would say. I get it. Like, it's greed, and I understand it because the crazy ones are fun in bed. Like, they're the ones who have no inhibition, who are like, pretend you're my uncle while I spit in your asshole. I mean, that's not a stable girl. She's great. And I'm not a stable person, so it works out well.
Perfect.
But like, if the ones who are the immediately the greatest dirty talkers, the most intuitive, because they see it. They pipe up and they see that little thing in you, and they know how to latch it. And it might be real for them, too. But the crazy ones are always hot.
100%. Yep.
Do you miss fucking girls? Like, do you still fuck girls, or do you not at all?
Me?
Like, yeah. Do you miss it?
I don't miss it. We've had experiences with women that's together. Awesome. It was fun. Leo and I. It was just Leo's first time.
It was.
Yes,
oh my God.
It was a fun night. I introduced him to eating all of that stuff, and
wow.
Yeah.
Did he like doing it?
He loved it.
Wow.
He loved it. He absolutely loved it. And this guy that's on the phone now. I think put him into category. Look, these aren't people you date. These are people you hook up with once in a while.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey, we can once in a while hook up, and then when we're done. And if they're not okay with that, then you need to find other people.
Except for the first one who was a good, by the way, here's what I want to know. How did she catch you cheating? I'm always interested in how people get caught, because I've gotten busted in my life. How did you get busted, sir?
Well, there was a couple telltale signs. And then the worst part, and I'm not making any of this up. So I was both of their bosses.
Oh, okay? you're becoming my idol. You're becoming my idol.
Yeah, I was both of their bosses. And she was catching on that one of them was with me in my office quite a bit. Oh. And then she caught me at her apartment.
Oh, she caught you. Okay. Now, did you have any, were there any ramifications at work?
I ended up getting fired.
Sorry to hear that. Oh. But as we're talking, there's a Twitter story. This is how fake people. There's a Twitter story, as you're saying it, that a rookie cop, a female cop's raunchy OnlyFans exposed as disgusted officers demand she be fired. How about this? Shut up, other cops.
Oh, my God.
Shut the fuck up.
Promote her.
Exactly. You don't fire. You reward that.
If Mandani was smart, he'd put her on his personal detail. Right next to me. Put her right. And I want her right behind the camera. This is what I want as security. So when I'm yapping my mouth about something stupid, they're Googling what's her latest picture on OnlyFans. And that's it. Yeah.
But that's the culture we live in, sir. You can't just have fun anymore. So what do you want to do? Who's the new one? Don't tell me your name, but like, where did you meet her? What job?
Actually, no. So it was perfect too. That ended up getting canned because that job was so stressful. Needed something different. So I ended up downloading an app. We found each other on an app, and holy shit! I mean, I've been getting messages from her today, and she's pretty fucking dirty.
That's fun. That's always fun. A good dirty texter is not to be trifled with.
I had that one. I had that once. I had some before Leo. One of my steady things was someone that was a little dirty and
so much fun.
But it was. But you know what was more fun was just canceling all of them when Leo came.
You
into
did
my life.
Right?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Oh, I haven't been on Grindr in over 10 years, and it's such an amazing feeling. Like I don't ever have to look at it.
And thank you for the call, sir. Please call me back in a couple weeks and let me know what you decided, because I am now invested.
Yes, and you keep calling him sir, like he's
a gentleman, a true gentleman's dilemma. I fucked one crazy girl, I cheated on her, then another lunatic came along, and now lunatic number three came along, and I got fired. This man is living the life of a gentleman.
Oh my god!
But it's hard to say what to do because, like. It all depends on what you want.
First of all, it's a bad sign where whatever I'd ever done that was on the crazy side, it never affected work. I always showed up in my job. Right. It never affected my job. I never hooked up with a waitress or with a, you know. So the fact that he's crossed those crazy lines, it's not a healthy sign. He needs help. Not that I'm saying, but it doesn't sound good. Good it doesn't sound.
I just watched Brokeback Mountain again the other night. We were talking about it one day.
We just role played it the other night. Put up a tent and everything. we even had a horse come in. Yeah.
And it wasn't like, it was a really good movie because it's not preachy. Like it literally is more about two people that fall in love and can't be together because of circumstances. Right. Like I didn't feel like it was messagey. And they didn't do any like dramatic thing. Like even when he died, it was like it's kind of ambiguous. You're not sure how it was. Was it really a tire blowing or was it? And they kind of kept it like these are just two people that couldn't be together. So it was really well done. But there's moments in that where he's like in a rodeo bar and he like tries to talk to the guy who the rodeo clown. And then the guy walks over and talks to somebody else. And you're like, does he know that he was hitting on him? Are they talking? It was this never knowing if other people know. Would you deal with that? Like that they did it so well where you could tell that Jake Gyllenhaal was like looking around going, do they know? Do they not know? There was always this foreboding. Have I been exposed or not? Would you have that in your life before?
Yeah, where you test things out to see like someone you can connect with somebody and like, oh, so maybe, yeah, I'd love to. I'll just ask my girlfriend if she's available to babysit that night so I can go. When you're not sure what it is, if the other person's gay or not, I was trying to say.
Have you had that where you misread it and thought they were and they weren't?
Oh, yeah.
And how did you find out?
You just find out. It just said, yeah, so yeah, my girlfriend told me that. Oh, you have a girlfriend? Yeah, I have a girlfriend. Da, 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 da. And that was it.
And then you find a way to cancel the plan.
My COVID's acting up. It's nice to meet you. You never know. It's hot when you don't know if they're gay or not.
Oh.
When you're just like, it's like, oh, let's see where this goes. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. And now Grindr. I looked for trans girls on it at one point, but I wasn't on very long, and there's not that many. At least there wasn't years ago. I mean, I never spent a lot of time on it, so I would just, you know.
So from what I understand, Grindr has changed a lot.
Really?
Yeah. So it's gone from, you know, back when I was on it, it was like, hi, hey. You said hi, they said hey, or you said hey, they said hi.
Yeah.
And say, looking to travel. And said, oh, great, I can host. Give the address, and I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Oh, wow, okay.
Done. From what I understand now with the millennials, it's like just hours and hours of conversation. They've made it, they stopped making it like a hookup ad. They just, time and how do you identify? How do I identify as a horny gay man? Yeah. How do I identify? What are you looking for? What pills are you on? What this, what meds are you on? Like, wow.
Yeah.
It changed. I'm so glad I'm not on it. But
did you have a good run? Did you have a good run on
it? I had a good run.
Modi was a fucking, a bit of a beast. Cause I remember we would bump into somebody, we'd be out somewhere and he'd go, I fucked him in his ass.
No, we were on a date one time. We were in a Chinese restaurant. I didn't say that. We were a Chinese restaurant. I was with a hot guy. I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, I always had
No, you and I were somewhere and we bumped into a guy in a store. It wasn't that. It was a guy in a store and he had just randomly said hi to you. We were shopping and you're like, I had to bend over. I fucked him. Yeah.
You're stupid. We were in some carpet store and this adorable, adorable salesman comes over to me and Jim and like, hi, I'll be right with you. And then Jim goes to me, would you? I go, I did.
Yeah, apparently
it was somebody I knew.
Yeah, Modi had really civil right hosed his face. But yeah, I imagine that's a fun place if that's your life to have a great run. Like I imagine if everybody's all, you know, especially with prep now, you don't have to worry about anything.
Oh, I missed all of that. I missed So I've been with Leo from before prep came into the picture, and so I didn't know about any of that stuff. And so he was the first guy like I ever did anything with that wasn't safe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never.
Oh, you lived a safe life, huh?
No, come on. I was a
reckless person.
Absolutely not. I was always safe as hell. We grew up, gays today are like, they don't even know. They have everything, gay rights and gay marriage and gay flags and gay senators. And all we had was AIDS. We just had AIDS. Do you remember that or no?
Yes.
What, in the 90s? In the 90s? I do a spot at the cell. Am I going to go get AIDS? No. You just mutual masturbation or something. You're not going to do. I'm not doing anything crazy.
Right.
You're nuts.
People did though.
I know, but that was never my. I guess my drug was more hooking up, like setting it up and getting together.
Right.
Not the extra going to. Oh my God, am I gonna live tomorrow? I don't need that in my head.
See, for me, condoms like wreck me. Like I can't. Once in a while, I get stay hard in them, but so many times I just couldn't. So like that to me was like, you have no problem either in a condom?
No, I'm good.
Oh
yeah, oh. You get nice thin ones. Yeah.
Doesn't matter what. It's just the act of putting it on. My dick gets shy and races to my balls. It's like my dick thinks it's a race to the balls. It's just panic. I mean, I haven't had to in years.
I wonder if it's mental though. You fixating on that?
It's definitely
100%. 100%. Of course.
Thanks, Dr. Phil.
Yeah, is it psychological? Yeah, but it is.
His hair is every single color. When you order like hair products, like the beard dyes, his hair is every single. He has red hair, gray hair, black hair,
brown hair,
everything.
He's very good head of hair. We've talked about this the other day. It's a very solid head of hair.
Really good.
Thanks, guys.
The homeless pimp has a great head of hair.
Homeless pimp is looking good. Yeah,
he has a very shaggy do.
Shaggy do.
A very shaggy hairdo.
Absolutely.
But that's good.
Yeah.
I've begun losing mine, so I just said enough with it. I could care less. I mean, for me, it's never been a looks game, let's be honest. I want to drop 30 pounds, but that's just I'm a fat pig. I don't know.
When you were super thin and you before you got married, all that, you looked good.
I did. I was too thin at one point. I was way too thin. But then after a while, I was like, I just, because again, she's eating bad food. I eat bad, and I'm in a hotel by myself. I'm like, What am I going to do here?
Yeah, so that's where the trizepatide kicks in. When you're in that hotel room and you're like, I don't want to even see that menu coming. I don't want to see the guy. Room service, there were nights where two guys had to come.
Oh,
the two carts and there's two people come up with the carts because we ordered everything.
But you guys are not fat.
No, but if you're not on that stuff, you had a whole day, you had the show, you had the meet and greet, you go back to the hotel room, you feel like you deserve something, so what else are you going to do? You know, that's it.
Yeah, well, I go online and I begin a tugging.
A tugging.
We got another call?
Yeah. Another call.
I begin a tugging.
I hate Steven Singer, but you know what I love? Mom. Oh, sorry. I was blowing my nose. I didn't realize that was still in there. Let's cut that out. We'd hate to have Singy get that in his read. I understand my nickname for Steven Singer. Singy is really taking off. I understand it's been quite the sensation down there at Philly at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Walnut. I've been doing Steven Singer reads for 15 years. Walnut. What an ass. Oh, I'm so sorry, Singy. Before morning coffee and chaos, before the day even starts, there's Mother. The one who wakes up at sunrise, she packs lunches, drives carpools, gets drunk, throws a bottle at your father's head, somehow keeps everything together despite the fact she has diarrhea and she's running around shitting on the rug. She's the sunrise of the family and also the moon when she shows her ass to all your friends. That's why Steven Singer created something special for Mother's Day. Singy has done it again. Brand new sunrise, 24-karat gold dip rose. Look, we love to tease Steven Singer. Like, a lot of times he'll come over and I'll take one of the roses and I'll just tickle his testicles. We laugh. We laugh and we clink roses. But honestly, everyone I've given one to loves it. They love it. They hate Steven, but they love the roses. They really are great. And I hate to say it, folks, but they're beautiful. This exclusive rose captures the colors of the morning sunrise, sparkling blue that fades to a pinkish purple to a warm golden yellow. It's stunning. Steven's Gold Dip Roses, they are a real rose dipped and preserved in real gold, guaranteed to last a lifetime, unless you live to be 600. Unless you give it to fucking Dracula. Then the guarantee doesn't mean anything. If you give it to Dracula and he's going to be 740 years old, fair enough, the rose won't make it. They arrive in a beautiful gift box, shipped for free with your own personalized message. Steven's new Sunrise Rose. It's 89 Sunrise Rose. Stupid ass. Steven's new Sunrise Rose. $89. I'm trying to give them away cheaper. $89. Sorry, Steven. Only at Steven Singer's website, IHateStevenSinger.com. Celebrate the moms who make every sunrise possible, and even the ones who get drunk, piss their pants, vomit on the couch, and then accidentally crush the dog by sitting on it. Steven Singer Jewelers, we love you, Singy. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. As always, I am so happy to do a read for our friends at Blitche. Blitche. Guys, if you're a lady or you're a fella or you're undetermined gender, that person sends you an eggplant emoji at 2 a.m. They're ready for better sex, then you should be too. Don't be the flunky failure, rotten disappointment you've been so many times. You're a limp idiot. You know it, and I know it. Why? Because I'm a limp idiot too. Blue Chew is a lifesaver. I truly love this product. They've been on a mission for years to get your dick ready for action. They build your confidence because you're like, it's going to work. I'm not going to have to panic about it. They can actually help you perform in the bedroom. And I don't mean like this type of performing, pop locking. That's what I would do if my dick wouldn't get hard. I'm like, babe, forget it. Let me pop lock for you. And they would only get, how long is a woman going to watch you pop lock with a limp dick? 45, 50 minutes tops. Their new arousal boosting formula, Blue Chew Gold, it's fantastic, helping millions of guys have better sex in 2026. Most erectile dysfunction, not ED, ED, it's not ED, it's erectile dysfunction. Those medications only focus on blood flow. Blue Chew goes further, combines ingredients for blood flow and two ingredients for mental arousal, because you want her to be turned on. Even if you do that. Very happy I did that. You're actually in the mood. This type of innovation is why Blue Chew Gold, it is the number one brand in erectile function. It's crazy how Blue Chew in name recognition has passed all the other ones. Maybe it's all the podcast reads, but I love them. I use them, and I've had great success with them. And believe me, you are looking at a weak-chinned, limp-pricked older gentleman. Don't let your mind get in the way of a good time. Free yourself. Discover your options at Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com. We've got a special deal for my listeners, not our listeners, my listeners. Right now, when you buy 2 months of Blue Chew Gold, you get the third month for free with the promo code Norton. That's promo code Norton. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we really do thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast and for making my penis happy.
Hey, I'm good. Hey, Jim. Hey, Modi.
Hey, what's up?
I guess this is mainly directed to Modi. I'm a gay Orthodox Jew, and my husband is trans, female to male, and we were wondering if you had any advice on getting a conversion for him.
If he wants to only. If he feels it's in his soul, in his DNA, that he needs to be Jewish, yes. If it's just to make somebody happy, no. The both of you should focus just on creating Mashiach energy, creating light, creating happiness for other people. Whatever positivity you have between both of you, bring it to other people. Literally, the conversion thing has to be something within his soul that he feels like he needs to do it. If it's not, leave it alone.
It definitely is.
No, if it is, then
do it. Did you mean the trans thing? Did you mean because he's trans?
Yeah, we've talked to an Orthodox rabbi, and basically they said that, you know, if you go to an Orthodox rabbinical court, they'll throw you away for not living up to, like, Jewish values, even if you tick all the other boxes. So, it's like tacit, you know, discrimination. So
can I ask you a question?
We're in New York City, and it's... Yeah.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you, because I understand religion is very important for people. For me, it's never been. What is the value in and I would ask a Muslim this too, or a real Christian, in looking up to either a God or a group that rejects you in an unfair way? You're not a bad person.
God and group is two different things. So God's not rejecting them. And so there is an Orthodox organization called Eshel. I'm sure you've heard of them, no?
Yeah.
So go to Eshel and see what they say.
Just answering Jim's question, for me, it's just what I grew up with. There's no real, I'm Sephardi, and there's no Reform or conservative Sephardi congregations that really exist. So if I want to, you know, do what I grew up with in the tunes and the songs that just make me happy, that's the only real avenue.
Okay. So hold on, so there's a synagogue called Sixth Street Synagogue where I go to. It's an Orthodox service, and the rabbi is Orthodox, and the service is Orthodox, and we have people there who are gay. My husband and I go there. There's trans people that go there. There's everybody's welcome there, and it's an Orthodox service, so you are welcome to come there. Sixth Street Synagogue.
Sixth, right. It's like saying Ruth's Chris. Sixth Street Synagogue. They could move to Eighth. Eighth Street Synagogue just flows off the tongue so much nicer. Yeah, I always get curious about that with people who are very... Cause I find myself, like, my attitude about people who hate my lifestyle or hate gay people, or anything, I'm just like, fuck you. Like, I have such a lack of desire to convince them or to...
Oh.
And the fact that they would reject... Like, my life is, I have such a loathing for them... And such a disdain and such a desire to tell them what fraud, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just brings out an anger in me, not a desire to reconcile. But, you know, some people are, I guess, raised with it different than I was.
Yeah, I don't have the energy to give them any of that.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I just really don't. I don't care.
You
know, buy tickets. Just buy tickets. I'm going to be at Radio City Musical. Do you hear me?
That's what you
and your husband could do. Get tickets to my show. Your husband does not need a conversion. Bring him to Radio City April 30th. There's seats that aren't really that expensive in the back, but it's still going to be a good show with two big monitors. That's what you need to do.
But by the way, was I not helpful? The guy's like, I want to convert. I'm like, why would you want to be with a God who doesn't like you? And he's like, wait, that's not what he's saying.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but it's not God. It's not God. God is not what's rejecting these people. It's the organization that they went to.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, sir. Good luck. And go to the Sixth Street Synagogue. All right,
thank you.
Be good.
Fun. Look at you all giving Jewish advice. Look at that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say to somebody. Because I don't think they're bad for having their beliefs. It's fine. Like, I have no issue with it. I just don't like when it's thrust on me. And he wasn't.
And no one's going to ask you to convert to Judaism.
No, no, no. So Jews are actually that. Very... I've never felt like Jews thrusted on you. Like, I'll walk by and a group of like Jewish kids came up and they're like, are you Jewish? I'm like, no, I'm not. And they couldn't have gotten away from me fast enough. Yeah. They're like, good, because we don't want you. You fucking... You tall pink rat. They wanted nothing to do with me. So I didn't feel imposed on by them.
Didn't you worship the devil as a teenager, earnestly?
Look, I was a very rebellious young boy. I was a cloven-hooved boy.
A cloven-hooved.
A little dangerous suburban boy. Devil boy coming through. It's like fucking Paul Lind-level evil. Yeah, but I thought I was, yeah.
Did you see the Eddie Murphy special?
I did. I saw some of his, the documentary was great.
Amazing.
Very, very interesting.
Wow.
He was funny. He's one of the few guys I haven't met that I want to meet. I've never met Eddie. But I, you know, obviously I'm happy to see he's still in a great place and he's doing so well.
He's so great. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
There's a great clip of him going around where he said he only had to audition once in his life for SNL and never again. I just found that so impressive.
Oh, there was no callback. Yeah, that was, well, that was, wasn't it?
No, for no film.
For what's that?
He's never auditioned again since for anything.
Oh, that's right. Only SNL. So it was, I guess that was the...
Although he did say in those movies that he played all the characters, he had to sell the characters to the network. To be like, I'm not going to just... Because they thought, oh, he's going to do 12 different things of the same, but he showed them all.
That's
and
right.
Got into 4 hours of makeup to show them that this is the character I'm going to do that's going to be at the table. This is the next character movie that's going to be at the table. He had a... It's wow.
He probably had to, like, because he already had the movie, so he wasn't auditioning, but he was probably like, look, I want to play all the parts, so I'm going to need you to see that I can play all the parts. Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah, it's he's unbelievable, and he's very calm. There's this calmness to him, and he talks about the comedians that are, when they're off stage, they're off.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
My favorite character he ever did was in Coming to America. It was Randy Watson. It's the most... That singer who was so awful, Let the Children Laugh, that awful, awful singer, Randy Watson. It's the name is perfect. The awful Arsenio was phenomenal in that and brings him on. Randy Watson. Nobody
Randy
claps.
Watson.
He sucks.
He sucks.
He has a gut. I mean, it's the fucking greatest. Look, no one claps except the fucking one guy likes him. No, it's such a...
It's so genius. He's so genius. It's unbelievable. It's just what a talent.
I forgot. Randy Watson and the sexual chocolates. Yeah. It was just masterful. Do you do any acting? You don't act, do you?
I do. When I get the chance to, I do. And we're looking into doing some more stuff now. But in the meantime, you know, we're doing shows. We're on the road doing tours. It's been incredible. Just, but we will definitely be doing some acting stuff.
Have you been close to getting something that you really thought you were going to get and then not gotten it? Like, what was like a heartbreak for you?
I auditioned for, what's it called? The movie with the two Hasidic guys and that beautiful guy that played Elvis. That's how good I am at knowing. Austin Butler. Yeah. So he was in a movie with, it's called Stealing or Theft or something like that. IMBD, we go. The recent. It's like,
I have never heard of it.
Anyway, I auditioned.
Caught stealing, yeah.
Caught stealing. So here's what you can edit to. I auditioned for caught stealing, and it was I was auditioning for the main director, the cameratographer, the whole thing, and it was for a Hasidic person. It was for someone who was Hasidic, and so I auditioned super authentically.
Yes.
I spoke like they would speak. I said what they would say. I told them this is not how something they would do. And they cast somebody. They cast two guys who are fine for the role, but they're not Hasidic. They're dressed in it, and they're dressed wrong, like the hat. And a Hasid that wears that hat wouldn't wear that kind of a coat.
Would you have told them that on set?
You're asking for someone that was authentic.
Yes.
And it wasn't. And so I see what he wanted. But it wasn't a chassid. He wanted this guy just dressed as a chassid.
He wanted his interpretation of what a Hasidic Jewish guy
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and then you're coming with a bunch of facts and going, that's not, oh, I did see a moment. I didn't see this, but I saw a moment of this.
Yeah.
Where they had this stealing. That's right. Where they send him in to commit a crime or something.
Right.
And I watched like 30 seconds of it. Because I was like, those guys don't look like Hasidic Jews. And I just turned it off immediately.
So that's when I'm like, I don't care. I don't care.
What did you say? Like in your audition, was there a script or no?
There was a script. And I pronounced everything the way they would say it. I would say it the way, in the proper way, how they would say it, not how this sounds like an English person speaking English, even though he really would be speaking with a Yiddish accent.
Right.
So, and I gave it a lot, and then they just went with other people, which you never know why they went with whoever
sure.
they went. But it was.
Did you dress for it? Or not?
I wasn't dressed for it, but okay. My agent sent them pictures of me and videos of me doing the chassid role. Maybe that's just not what they wanted. But so I never get offended or care when I don't get something, and when stuff just comes in, just like, hey, we just need you as you.
Yeah,
that's the best, and I love it. I love acting. Isn't it fun? So much fun.
Sometimes, if I like the material, I'm never offended when I don't get it. I'm always shocked when I do.
You've done great stuff with Louie, and you've done yeah. stuff on Crashing and all of that stuff. And so, yeah, you're great.
I've dabbled a little bit. I like it sometimes. But I don't love it. But when you go in like something like that, you're perfect for. And I think of your time. I told you I lived in Montreal the whole pandemic, and I would see Hasidic. Are they Hasidim? Is what they're called? Is that
yeah,
the right?
Yeah.
But I like different outfits, and I just didn't know what any of it meant. Like the ones that get me are the ones that are brown, that like furry hats. But
that's on
like
Saturday
boxes.
Only. That's on Saturday.
What
only.
Does it mean that hat?
That hat is a streimel. It's a fur hat. It's made out of a fox's tail. Because back in the day, they used to make the Jews wear a foxtail on their hat. So, like, be careful because Jews are foxy and they can...
Oh.
Yeah. So instead of, like, making that a bad thing, they made a crown of this beautiful fur that they wear on the Sabbath. So that's where that came from. It's only certain Hasidic communities. And some of them have a tall one, some have a short one. So you have to know, you can know which community the person's from. But the two Hasids that they had on this caught stealing... That's not what those two would wear. That's not the hat that they would. Those they wouldn't have a curls like that. He wouldn't. And they speak English like a regular person, which they don't. They don't begin to learn English until they're 16, and so they already learn it with a Yiddish accent.
Oh.
So it's whatever the reason. I'm sure it's a great movie. And I don't. It happened. Like that's the auditions you go on sometimes.
But I've thought that like for years I've said this. Literally for 10 years I've been saying Netflix or any Hulu. And like the fact they don't do a follow documentary on you, how interesting your life is, and the life you lead, and the people you entertain, which are not typical stand up comedy audiences. Like you know, I mean, yeah. Elon Gold does as well. But very few comics can do what you do and go into that world and be funny. In a strict religious world, look, I don't care what the religion is. It's hard to be funny in front of a group of strictly religious people because they get upset at things that most audiences wouldn't. Any type of a sexual thing or whatever, they you fucking go in there and murder. I don't know how you do it.
No, there's a vibe and there's a listen. Thank God it's not all Jewish anymore. We have goyim, gays, and theys.
Oh, you do, yeah.
We have the gays that started coming, thank God. And then and people who are like, my favorite thing is like when someone is not Jewish and tells their Jewish friends, you should go see this Jewish comedian named Modi. Or someone who's Jewish goes, do you want to see a Jewish comedian? Come. And so, you know, so all of a sudden you see like a hijab in the middle of the audience because it's two nurses that work with these Jewish nurses and they brought them and it's just great. It's just, that's the best. It's like, and that's not just a Jewish audience. And the religious ones are the religious organizations that I do and I love doing those.
So when somebody,
have you
done it with men on the right, women on the left
yes,
or whatever?
Yeah.
Is there
yeah,
a curtain between them?
So there's a mechitza, it's called. There's like a wall that's kind of like, it's a little bit, like about 8 feet tall and it's all the way down. And so the men on one side, the women on the other side. And right before you go on stage, and the guy knows I know, but he says to me in Yiddish, "Kik nish darayin da oigen fin da vibe shashir." Don't look in the eyes of the women when you do the jokes. Like stand in the middle, but work towards the men. Don't start like looking at some yeah. woman and like, you know, assessing her and all that. You know, he's like, I know you know.
Have you looked at them at all?
The women?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're much easier to look at than the men. They're just much, they're so pretty. And the men look like, with that, just the dandruff everywhere. Just look at the women are gorgeous. The women are gorgeous. Hasidic women are so beautiful. They're so pure and so like delicate and modest. And it's like a nice, it's such a great vibe.
The guys are a mess.
And the guys are, he's funny. We had him by, I know him. Yeah, the women are just like quiet laughing.
Do they know you in, and for anyone not in New York, the greatest store ever created is B&H Photo. It's just everybody knows what they're talking about.
Yep.
Everybody cares about their job. You never have some lazy sack of shit working there. It used to be all Jews, but now they've mixed it up with everybody. But do they know you in that store?
When I walk in there, I do get recognized, yeah. It was very easy to return a lot of things one time.
They knew you.
They knew me, yeah. Yeah. And they asked for selfies and all that, and it's fun. It's Jewish areas, it's like walking with Rihanna when we're like in a Jewish neighborhood.
And, oh, really? Yeah, they all know you.
They all know me, yeah.
Well, it's nice that you found your groove. Like, I hate to say it like that. That's like the way somebody's fucking aunt says it. You're right. I shouldn't have said it. We're not going to edit that out. I just said to another man, you found your groove. I should be shot. I'm an idiot. I did just say that.
Oh, man.
And I didn't mean it.
Oh.
You've really found your groove. You go.
I'll tell you where I had a moment where I said something to a comic where I was like, oh, wow, I wish I didn't say that at all. Bill Burr, where it was... Some Hulu was having an event, Hulu-arious, yeah. Hilarious. I was invited there for Mateo, was his special,
yep.
And Zarn, there's a whole bunch of comedians having a special on Hulu, and Bill Burr was there, and I haven't seen Bill in years.
Yeah.
Years. I just go to him out of nowhere, and I said to him, Bill, it's good to see you, and congratulations on all your success, and it's amazing things that you've opened up for comedians, because I was just about to do 3 shows at the Beacon.
Yes.
He goes, and let me guess, Modi, you're there's no good comedy specials out there, and you're sitting on an hour of gold. Is that what it is, Modi? Yeah, then he points to his manager, his agent, Goldberg or Goldstein, the Jewish guy.
Yes, Berkowitz.
Berkowitz. And he goes, why don't you go sit and talk with him? And I sit next to him, and he goes, my mom watches you.
Oh.
That was
all the moms watch you.
Every Hollywood executive in the world knows who I am. Not because of Oscars or Emmys or whatever. Their mothers send them my clips. Every Jewish executive is getting clips of me from their mom.
Where do they send them? Is it like a WhatsApp thing?
WhatsApp and on Instagram. However the elderly can find a way to send something.
Yeah.
They get the, you know, yeah, mom, I've seen her, mom. Yeah, mom. Okay, mom.
But it's a real, like, and forgive the pun, backdoor way of making it. Like, I raised Dane Cook a lot. Because Dane made it in a way with colleges and with fucking MySpace. And Comedy Central too, but it was more like they couldn't deny him. And with you, the business was just doing what they do, and then you found a way around all that and are doing great. So they can't ignore you at this point.
They can.
I'll tell you who they can ignore. Oh, and do they? But you have to feel good that you made it on your own terms.
Yes, we made it on we've made it. I don't say I anything. It's me and my husband. My husband is the it's the show business. There's the business, and he runs it, and he finds the right people to bring in. And you've known me for 30 years,
yeah,
if not more.
Yeah,
94. We met, and that's right. You know, I was always doing well, making a living.
Yeah.
But then to bring it to this level is my husband.
That's totally great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. My wife has not been conducive. She's like, you want me to book your flights? I'm like, no, I don't.
No.
I know, I don't. You'll give me a layover in Port-au-Prince.
No, but no. It's not book my flights. It's like, who should your agent be? Who should your manager be? Where should we be filming this? What can we be doing? And he has like other skills too, like that blow my mind away. We just taped, he has amazing editing skills.
Wow.
How to edit a clip or a video. We shot 2 shows in Atlanta. Could you imagine? I'm doing a special in Atlanta. 2 sold out shows, packed, beautiful room, and he watched both of the sets. I just see his head should joke from here, take this one, take that one. Beginning of this joke, bring that joke, bring that. And he made a whole spreadsheet. And then we have JP from Levity who also got in there. And it's just like, it's such a talent. I can't.
Yeah,
when I watch myself, I'm like looking at this one up and my tie's a little off. And I can't figure out when the joke starts or begins. Yeah. I can't.
Yeah, it helps to have somebody who you trust, whose opinion you trust.
But who also knows how to edit well, not over edit it, not like cutting in the middle of a joke. I just had, in the summer, we drove out to the Hamptons to do the show. In Hampton Bays. Have you done this place? Canoe Inn.
Familiar. I might have done that. Do they have a big curtain that they put to cut off half the room? If so, I've been there. I'm pretty sure. Yes, I think I did do that. It was very nice.
Yes. Canoe Place.
Yes.
So it's in Hampton Bays, in between West Hampton and like the other real Hamptons, like the whole East Hampton, Bridgehampton, all that Hamptons. And so it was this show. And we were writing material about, it was going to be a show of people who are guests and hosts.
Right.
Anybody at this show either has some crazy house and has full of guests, or someone there is a guest of someone with that kind of a house. That's all that whole audience was. Crazy money, and they're either hosts or guests. And I shot, we hired a camera guy, and he just threw the camera up, and we wrote all this material about being guests and hosts on the way out. Ended up being 11 minutes of material.
Wow.
And it was the first show, I was getting it together. The second show, I opened with it. And I said, I could never do this again in front of an audience that's all hosts and guests. And we just put it up. Like, I should have saved it for a special.
Right.
But we just put it up. It's on YouTube. It's called Be My Host or Guest Something. It's on my Instagram page too.
Be my guest.
And you should definitely watch this. It's so good.
That's really smart, though, because sometimes you can't do the material somewhere else. Like, it only works on that one night because of what's going on.
100%.
And
I could have, and there were such moments in there that were just like, I'm never going to capture them again. I said, you know what? This is just put this up. And we just put it up, and it was just, and it's just, it's so, it's something I'm so proud of.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of it, but, you know, to edit and all that stuff, but I'm just, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
But this is definitely, people watch this thing. Be My Guest. It's on YouTube and on my Instagram page, and it's a piece of 11 minutes I'm so proud of.
Those are the type of situations that I wind up having a hard time in, because they just don't, like, I come in with, I'm too weird, and they're like, this is not who we wanted for our guests. I don't do well in private functions. I'm not a good private function guy. I'm not the guy that they want.
I bought two apartments off of private functions.
I know.
It's but
crazy.
This wasn't a private function. This was a comedy show. Someone produced a comedy show, and it was just. But
yeah. I think I did do that one. It was a one show night. But it was a couple of years ago. I think I went out to Long Island and did that. I haven't spent much time in the Hamptons at all.
Yeah,
a little bit. I'm not comfortable out there. Are you comfortable around people like that?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah, about around billionaires and all that. Yeah.
I went to Tim Dillon's party. Have you done stand-up at people's houses?
Yes.
Really? A lot?
Probably more than you'd think. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like Jeff Ross, too. I talked to Jeff about this because he's very just comfortable. He doesn't give a fuck.
No problem.
So you'll just walk in and you'll tell them, this is the mic I need. Is that all in your rider, what you need?
It's all in the rider, what you need, how this has to happen, and the layout, no wait staff. That's very important. No wait staff, but you don't know how it's going to happen too. You know, there was one time I did an event in Long Island, and it was a private event for juvenile diabetes, and the guy whose house it was a Holocaust fanatic, so he collected all this memorabilia of the Holocaust. So I walk into this house. It's an old Westbury. Money, like old mold money.
Yeah.
It's like money has mold on it. It's old family, and it moved to the next generation, and they had a foundation and all of that. And so I walk in there, and the guy, as soon as you walk in, he has like a framed picture of the star.
Yeah.
Right. And then he has this Torah scrolls that were saved from the Warsaw ghetto. And the whole house had a whole bunch of other silver Holocaust stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, where's the show going to be? They bring me to this room where there's 150 seats. Don't 100, that's the Comedy Cellar.
Yes.
So that's the size of this wow. room. You understand? 150 yeah. seats
sure.
are set up in his living room, all facing this statue of that was commissioned by him, commemorating the 6 million that died, and all 6 million were in the statue. Like hands and barbed wire and flames and children yeah. and screaming and yelling, and my mic was right in front of it. My mic was, so people would walk into the room like this, like, oh my God, like that, like, what the hell? And of course, you have to address
you
it.
You have to.
There's no not addressing it. So they do the whole pitch. Hey, it's really important that what we're doing for juvenile diabetes, and make sure you fill out the envelopes and give us your donation. And here's Modi, and here's Modi.
Yeah.
So I go, hi, it's great being here in Majdanek. We went to the concentration camps. I go, if things go well tonight, I'll be in Bergen-Belsen next week. Sorry I'm late. The trains were off. I mean, and they all started cracking up because like
it worked, right? Yeah.
They're like, we know that you know that we know you're standing in front yeah. of this crazy statue. But yeah.
You have to address it.
You have to address whatever the situation is. And I've been in apartments in Manhattan that I can't even explain to you. Like, It's just like it's an entire block from like on Fifth Avenue, where from beginning of the end to like 64 to 65, it's the entire block is their apartment.
Wow.
And two floors. And it's someone who says, I'm not going to a comedy club. I don't need to bring him to my country club. You guys want Modi? What's his price? Bring him here. Let's just do it in the apartment. Yeah. And they think it's going to be like a comedy club. It's not.
Right.
You're standing there in front of
their fireplace.
Yeah, yeah, and some horrible art that they paid yeah. billions of horrible art. I always make a joke about their art and you know. Oh yeah. Oh, you stupid
you
art.
Shit on it.
Oh, you oh God. Wait, was the other guy some guy. I'm not a wine drinker. I don't drink wine. No. It just doesn't taste good.
Sucks.
It sucks. It doesn't. It's. Ugh.
I don't like people who drink wine. Either.
And it's got calories that I could waste somewhere else. And I'm not an alcoholic anymore. And it makes me fall asleep. It makes me stutter.
Yeah.
If I have a cup of wine, I'm gonna stutter. So we get to this guy's house, and he says, I Googled when you were born. There's a Wikipedia page. I know the year you were born, and I went to my auction house and bought this bottle of wine from the year you were born. I go, please don't open that. please don't open that.
I'm not going to drink it.
I'm not going to drink it. And and then he turned it, and I saw where it said the bid price and the asking price and what this dummy paid for it. I'm like, bring that back and see if there's someone as dumb as you to who'll pay for this.
How much did he pay for it?
All I remember was saying, I mean, you can get new rims for your car.
It was thousands.
It was deep thousands. Yeah. And I'm like, the dummy opened it, and it was like, it was prickly inside. It was so gross.
So he wasted his money.
Ugh, it was so disgusting. You want to blow me away? You want to blow me away at your dinner? You want to blow me away? Have a diet soda with no caffeine. Come at me. Don't just offer me a Diet Coke. Say, Modi, we have diet ginger ale. Oh.
Yeah.
Fresca. You want me to come back and say I had a good time? Fresca. I don't
really
need, Fresca.
Well, 70?
Yeah. Wait.
Exactly.
Fresca.
That's what you use to buy a Fresca.
Yeah, and wine.
Or
wow.
A bonus. A bonus is nice.
Oh yeah. It's
that's
very
how you
nice
make a comic happy.
Yeah.
Have you gotten bonuses?
Oh yeah.
That must be fun.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy just hands you and he handed. We were at one gig at the Charlie Kushner School in New Jersey, right? It was a beautiful theater they have, and they do this event to raise money, and they pay very well, more than you would do sure. doing a theater in the area. And then at the end, you know, the guy who's taking care of you, who's like the guy that's in charge, all of a sudden hands me like $1,000 in cash, and he takes care of Leo too. He goes, thanks for making sure everything worked out. It's just cash.
Yeah,
cash.
That's nice.
But I do that. I always carry a lot of cash and give it just whenever.
It's not smart to say on a podcast.
No, I always, and it always comes in handy. Always have cash.
I always have a little bit, but a lot of times I have none.
No, you gotta have cash.
If you can, I
you
mean,
checking into a hotel room and you got there a little early before the
check-in. I've used that. Yeah. How much do you give?
Oh, for 50 to 100. with no problem. And all of a sudden the room is an upgrade room. And
Yeah, I've done that before and gotten in quickly in Vegas. And I did it in L.A. and it still took a while because this dumb asshole didn't know how to handle a tip. All right, I wanted to go take it back. Hey, thanks for nothing, you fucking, you dead-eyed idiot. I was so annoyed.
You don't give it to them until they do it.
Oh, I did it before. Like, hey, you can get me in faster.
No. You pull out here.
Oh, this afterwards.
You have like this. You while you're having a conversation with them, you hold this like this and say, "I'm wondering if you have a room that's a little bit better than this room. I know I'm here early, but
if you can,
a room that's currently available." And they're just seeing this, and they go, "Oh, yes." You were like, "Here's the money." And they, "Do you have a room?" Like, "No, no,
exactly." And I'm like, "Can I get my money back, please?"
No, it's yeah.
Let's do one more call.
About 30 years old. I've been doing comedy about a year and a half. I try to do 2 to 3 mics around New Orleans, Lafayette a week. And my question was, I've been booked about 7 times doing it in a year and a half. What are some of the things that you can do other than giving, comedians rides and just performing well? What can you do to get booked more? What are the things that you do?
Being in a place that has a lot of stand-up helps. I don't know what New Orleans scene is like, but like you look at Austin or New York or Boston or San Francisco or even Houston and of course L.A. places that have a lot of work, like, it's funny. People ask me this. I never know what to say because for me, it was I drove and I would pick up guys like Otto and George or Bob Levy. And these guys would drink and not be able to drive home. So I would drive guys to gigs. So that's for me was my experience. Like we were driving 2 and 3 hours into Pennsylvania. And I mean, you have to do well on the shows, but if the 10 funny new guys and one of them is going to get you home sober, you go with that guy. So I would say besides being funny, if you can drive people to gigs, it really helps a lot.
That's so funny.
You need to be in a place where there's
stand-up comedy happening. If there's two things happening, Baton Rouge, then that's not good. You need to be somewhere that there's more or make shows happen, create shows. All the young Jewish comedians now are all finding restaurants, kosher restaurants, and doing a comedy night and killing it. And amazing. And I pop in and it's just great stuff.
They put you on?
Yeah, it's wonderful. And they're not expecting me and no one's taping me. So it's amazing. It's amazing stuff. But yeah, make sure you get up. You have to get up. That's my answer.
Yeah, get on stage as much as you can, however you can.
Yeah.
But as far as if you only do it in a year and a half, it takes a little while to get work. It was a year before I got my first check for $25.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so keep it up. Don't give up, though. Don't let the money be the thing. Like, money is great, but it comes. Don't let the money discourage you or encourage you to do things you don't want to do.
Yeah. His house is on the market, by the way.
Yes, I'm desperate. Desperate for cash. Fucking thanks for the call, man. Oh, and I keep forgetting to mention it.
Dude,
every time I see
so
you
much.
On The Sopranos, I'm jealous. Every time I see how many scenes, how many times were you on?
Once.
But you had a scene with Gandolfini.
And he was super nice, and he was the best part of the whole thing was the table reading. To be with
the whole cast.
So amazing.
What happened? You get the part and they say come in for the reading.
I got the part before I even auditioned. I walked in with an Israeli accent. And the guy was like, I almost didn't have to audition. By the time I got downstairs, they already called the agent and they want you, you're set, hold these dates, pin, cast, whatever the hell the words are. But there was a table reading that happened on Monday, which is after a Sunday. And on that Sunday, everybody went to dinners and they came in. And you'd think that they were in character already, but that's just how they all are.
Yeah.
And I was at this and Gugoloni Batoni and Bomboloni Ganoni, and we were there, and he had that Marmajana, the Mamajbanayana. And I'm like, oh my God, these people, that's really them.
Yeah.
So I stayed with the Israeli accent the entire time. I didn't like break, even though they were just them, I was, I wasn't going to be like, not that going into an Israeli accent is a real like
stretch.
It's a stretch for me, yeah.
Now, who did you sit next to?
I sat next to the daughter.
Meadow,
yeah.
Jamie Lynn Sigler. She was just doing a podcast with Robert Eiler, Not Today, Pal, which they just stopped doing. It was on Segura's network. They're both really nice people.
I'll tell you if I'm being funny. Back then, I was still working at Merrill Lynch. I didn't quit my job at Merrill Lynch. I only quit in 99, I think it was. And her brother was an intern in our office.
Oh, okay.
So it was really crazy.
Did you tell her that?
No, I didn't, because she didn't need to know that.
So when you're on set with Gandolfini, what was, like, you're ready to, I'm guess you're waiting for, like, you're there before he gets there, right? You're ready to go. And what is it like when he walks in? Do you talk before? How many takes?
So it was one take. No, it was a few takes. It was in a mall. It took place in a mall, and they had other scenes in the mall.
Yeah.
So they were waiting for him to finish the other scenes that he taped. He came into this store. They explained to him what the scene was. He's buying a diamond for me to give to this girl, and this is the, and he's going to write a note for her, and they're going to see on the note,
right,
whatever it is. I had 3 pages of dialogue with him. They cut it to 3 lines.
Really?
I was on Stern the next day. So this is on a Sunday. I was on Stern on Monday, and Howard says to me, he goes, you're the only one that they got whacked in the editing room. So he, but Gandolfini goes in, how are you? I go, I'm Modi. He goes, nice to meet you, and this and that. And I go, ah. And then it was Purim. It was the holiday of Purim that day. And he goes, oh, Morty, it's an Israeli name. I go, yeah, I don't know how we got to it, but I told him, yeah, today's the Jewish holiday of Purim. And then he goes, everybody, just so you know, today's the Jewish holiday of Purim. He made that announcement to everybody.
So they knew.
So it was really great. Yeah. And then we shot it, and like right away we got it. And then he moved on to the next spot.
Did you take a photo with him?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Of course I did, yeah.
That's one guy that I'm so mad. I'll never forgive myself for not going.
You don't have a photo with him?
No, he was going to be at Sirius one day, but I was doing Red Eye that night. So I would go home after the radio show and write jokes. Oh. And he was coming in with David Chase for something. I got a Soprano signed. But I didn't come back to meet him. I'm like, no, you got to write. You can't be a fucking fanboy. You got a show to do tonight.
Yeah.
And it's a great regret. I should be fucking executed for blowing that.
He's so amazing. It was so amazing to work with him. Yeah.
I get jealous every time I see it. But this will be out before your Radio City. So exactly the April 30th, go to Ticketmaster, I'm sure, to get tickets. Only one show available.
Please go to Ticketmaster and not some jank website that you get caught to. Best way to go is through modilive.com, modilive.com. The 23rd and 30th is at Radio City Music Hall, but before then I'm going to be, oh my God, everywhere. San Francisco, a return show in San Francisco. We're going to be in Kansas City, Detroit, New Orleans. We have a whole bunch of shows coming up. And just go and look and see what near you or near your friends. I always say, be the friend that brings the friends to the comedy club. When you don't just get 2 tickets for you and your somebody, buy 4-6 tickets. By the time the show comes, the people will be happy to go to a comedy show.
I always say, buy 2 tickets and then explain to me why no one wanted to go with you when I'm looking at you in an empty chair.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.